World Sports from the BBC with Andrew Horse. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Manchester City do their best to cling on grimly towards the top of the English Premier League.
Dzeko has caught Clark in possession. This is Dzeko. Dzeko to Tevez. Tevez in the penalty area. Tevez round the goalkeeper! And he almost walks the ball into the net!
With a 1-0 win over Aston Villa. Jose Mourinho says the world will be watching as Real Madrid get ready to meet Manchester United in the European Champions League. And we'll hear more about why the New Zealand cricketer Doug Bracewell has, well, put his foot in it. Now, Manchester City have kept up what pressure they can on Manchester United towards the top of the English Premier League. It follows that 1-0 win at an Aston Villa side who remain in serious danger of relegation. Carlos Tevez scored the only goal, Conor McNamara reports.
Manchester City have restored their deficit behind Manchester United at the top of the table to 12 points. It's still too large a gap to set any pulses racing about a title challenge. But perhaps most pertinently for Roberto Mancini, a day after Tottenham's impressive win in the North London Derby, this result moves Manchester City 5 points clear of Spurs in the battle for second place. Aston Villa remain in the relegation zone with fellow threatened opponents to come in their next two games, Reading and then Queen's Park Rangers. A late yellow card here for Fabian Delph means he will miss both of those matches.
Well, the Manchester City manager Roberto Mancini was content with any sort of victory after seeing his side miss several chances.
I think that we did a good performance. It was really difficult because I think that Aston Villa is a good team. It's strange that they're in the bottom. And because they have good players. No, I'm frustrated because we didn't score other goals. And we should play strong until the last second. But it was important, cliché, we won, and this is very important. There are four, five incredible chances to score in the first half, second half. The keeper saved everything.
Well, the Aston Villa manager, Paul Lambert, was happy with the players' level of effort, but he did admit it was a mistake by Kieran Clark that led to the only goal.
I don't think it's a foul, and that's me being honest. I think when you're a defender and you're near enough to the last man, I know Nathan was behind him, you don't take any chances and try to be a bit clever. And things like that can happen. If you're going to take a chance, that can happen.
Well, in the one match in Spain's Primera Division, Sevilla won 4-1 at home to Celta Vigo, with Alvaro Negredo scoring a hat-trick, and that win moves Unai Emery's side up to 10th. Well, on Tuesday, two of the giants of European football, Manchester United and Real Madrid, will meet at Old Trafford in the European Champions League. They're level at 1-1 going into the second leg of the last 16 tie. It's the first return to Old Trafford for the former United player Cristiano Ronaldo, although United manager Sir Alex Ferguson says they can't fear Real or their star player.
What do you expect when you play against a team with Ronaldo in it? You expect problems during the night. We have to try and curtail that as much as we can, as best we can. And it won't be easy because he does it every week. It's not an accident with the lads. The experience young Rafa had in the first half over in Madrid hopefully helps him, because he'll be given the same task again. I don't think it's one we should fear. I think if we go in worrying about the damage that Cristiano can give us, then we'll forget some of the things that we can do ourselves.
Having been rested at the weekend, United's Ryan Giggs is all set for his 1,000th appearance for club and country. But as for Real Madrid, their manager Jose Mourinho has confirmed that goalkeeper Iker Casillas won't play, despite being named in the travelling squad. And the manager's been laying on the melodrama, rather, as opposed to giving too much else away about how the tie might unfold.
Who knows what is going to make the difference? Nobody knows, and because nobody knows is because tomorrow the world will stop to watch this this tie, and this doesn't look a tie, it looks a final. Let's see which teams arrive at Wembley. But I doubt that the expectation can be bigger than this one.
In the other match on Tuesday, it's 2-2 between Borussia Dortmund and Shakhtar Donetsk going into the second leg of their game. The Danish Football Association will not consider Nicolas Bentner for international selection for 6 months following his arrest for drink driving on Sunday. The Arsenal striker, who's on loan at Juventus in Italy, has apologised for his actions on the social networking site Twitter. Sudan have lost an appeal against FIFA's decision to overturn their 2-0 World Cup qualifying victory over Zambia and award a 3-0 win to their opponents instead. The sanction was for fielding an ineligible player, and the Court of Arbitration for Sport announced their decision on Monday. BBC's Piers Edwards has more.
It was actually the first match that both Sudan and Zambia played in the group, and Sudan won it on the pitch 2-0, which is a very substantial result because they were playing the then African champions. Now, the problem is that when Zambia and Sudan had last met in both teams' previous competitive match, it was in the Nations Cup in 2012, and a Sudanese player was sent off. So the Zambia players were certainly surprised, and the visiting delegation, the Zambian visiting delegation, was surprised to see the same Sudanese player take to the field. They protested to FIFA after the game. FIFA upheld the appeal and they awarded a technical 3-0 win to Zambia, which currently puts Zambia top of Group D with 6 points, and Ghana have 3, Sudan 1. And Sudan weren't very happy about the decision by FIFA, so they protested to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, the Switzerland-based legal power, the highest ruling body in sport. And it has emerged that CAS has upheld the original decision by FIFA, so no points for Sudan and a 3 massive points for Zambia, because otherwise they'd be level with Ghana. And obviously most neutrals are expecting this to be a straight head-to-head fight between Zambia and Ghana to see who finishes on top of the group before then going into the playoffs later this year. So it really is a massive decision for Zambia, especially any slip-up in that group is going to be very, very costly. So it's a big, big decision for them.
And just 3 weeks before their next World Cup qualifier, Equatorial Guinea have a new coach. The former Spain defender, Andoni Goycochea, nicknamed the Butcher of Bilbao for his rather uncompromising approach to tackling during his playing days. He'll take charge for the first time against Cape Verde, and it'll be the first time that Goycochea has taken a job outside of Spain. But his appointment's been welcomed by the Equatorial Guinea captain, Juvenal Ejogo.
I think now the national team needs a fresh coach, and for us, I think that it's good news for us to have a new coach. He has a lot of experience here in Spain, working in different clubs and national team, under 20, under 19, so. And I hope he will have a good job in the Sala Nacional, no, in Guinea.
Now, the New Zealand cricket team's turbulent recent problems seem to be continuing. Recent rows over the removal of key player Ross Taylor as captain, followed by heavy defeats in South Africa, have now been compounded by the news that fast bowler Doug Bracewell won't play in Wednesday's first test against England, with a foot injury which was reportedly suffered at a party at the weekend. Bracewell has apologised over the incident, but the BBC's cricket correspondent Jonathan Agnew says it may hint at wider problems within New Zealand cricket.
He's cut his foot tidying up from a party, stepping on some glass. Now, that's, you know, in itself is one thing, but, you know, there has been talk of there being something.